talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's up? I'm Kirk Steele. I'm 18. I'm from Orlando, Florida. My favorite movie is Garden State. Are you ready to explore the infinite abyss?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, two Oregon fish sandwich? Can I get a fish sandwich?
Yes!
Well, to paraphrase MC Hammer, I would have to say that I am, in fact, so legit that I shan't be quitting anytime soon.
Hey, Ally McKay, welcome to the show. Show us your boob.
And now.
Loser, 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 loser.
Our feature presentation.
That sounds like that's about right.
That's
welcome
nice.
Into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday morning, the 26th of March. Hey, Ally.
Good morning, Bean. How are you?
Well, I guess I'm doing better than you are this morning.
How dare you? I don't know why.
How are you going to get through today with no Diet Dr. Pepper?
See, I was trying to forget it. Mm-hmm. That's how not awake I am. Yeah, I get a Diet Dr. Pepper every morning, and by many, and they're sold out. And I asked Chip, and I'm not kidding when I said, is there an emergency number we call? What do we do? This is
like,
serious.
Like an 800 number on the
yes.
side of the machine where you can have some airlifted into you immediately
it's
to fill up
okay.
the machine?
She's going to be curled in a fetal position by like 7 a.m. in the corner.
I love them so much.
How long has this been going on where Diet Dr. Pepper is to you what coffee is to most folks?
A long time. Like I never drank coffee.
That's your starter.
Yeah, I never drank coffee until probably the end of college. And even doing morning news, I didn't love coffee as much as I loved Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But I will do coffee, and I will do a lot of it, and I will
right.
today. And I apologize already for where the show's headed.
You need to travel with backup Diet Dr. Pepper in your trunk.
Well, now
just
I know.
Just put some in the back of your car.
Didn't know this place was a wasteland.
Yeah. Yeah, it is disappointing that K-Rock has already broken your heart, but yeah. Yeah, we run out of a lot of things here. Sometimes we have no paper, sometimes we have no chairs. There's a lot of things that we lack here. That's for sure. So.
Good to know.
Well, let us know if there's anything we can do for you.
Thanks, Bean.
Maybe if there's any do we have anyone I guess all of our people are already here. I was going to say maybe somebody could stop and pick something up for you on the way in, but I think it's too late. I think we're all here now.
You know, I'm going to soldier on. I'm going to just be a big girl and pull up my big girl panties.
Yeah.
I don't know why they were down, but
like it's not already tough enough to do a show with Zayn leaving One Direction. Now you have to do it without Diet Dr. Pepper.
So
I mean, this is almost asking too much.
It is. I want to go home.
I don't blame you. Okay. Hey, here's a story to get us going, though. How do you guys feel when you get as a gift lottery tickets from somebody? Do you feel like that is a cheap-ass gift that is never going to be worth anything? Or do you feel like, hey, that's really generous to buy me lottery tickets because it potentially could be $500, $1,000, $1 million? Who knows? I mean, what's your general take on it if you get a lottery ticket?
I think my first take is, hey, thanks for stopping at the gas station on your way to my birthday.
Thanks for putting a lot of thought
right.
into your gift.
No effort whatsoever. But then, hey, you scratch it off and you win something big. That's my favorite gift ever. So initially, I'm like, ugh, loser. And if I scratch it off and there's nothing, then I'm upset again. It's a roller coaster.
Because let's face it, it is the gift that you get that is most likely to be worthless.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you get $5 in lottery tickets, the person can say, oh, I'm giving you a chance at $400 million. But what they're really giving you 99.999999999% of the time is $5.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here's a story in Pennsylvania. Excuse me. It's in New City, New York. This is a man from Pennsylvania who was recovering from surgery there. His father sent him a lottery ticket tucked inside his get well card. You can already see where this story is going. He had a hernia surgery and he scratched off the $7 million golden ticket and won $7 million.
Wow.
I scratched the ticket, and it was a good thing I was already sitting down because I was shocked. I was and still am in complete disbelief. I had surgery, so I didn't jump up and down, but in my mind, I was jumping up and down. He sent a photo of the ticket to his dad. His dad said, yep, looks like you got a winner there.
Whoa.
But, by the way, is his dad now delighted that what he hoped would happen when he bought the lottery ticket for his son and mailed it to him has actually happened? Or is he kicking himself in the face going, stupid, 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 you gave away $7 million?
I'm hoping his son gives him $2 to $3 million.
I am hoping so as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lucky that this story is a dad and a son, because if this were a friend thing, that friendship is over, right?
Yeah, that guy's flying into town if he didn't live there, and he's making sure everything's good at the hospital, and
yeah,
then he's asking
no kidding.
For his cut.
I don't know how you'd ever get over buying a lottery ticket for somebody as a gift and having it win $7 million.
That's a lot of money.
I mean,
wow.
Again, like I said, that's what you know, that's the pretense under which you give the gift. But then when it happens, you got to be thinking, no, why did I do it? He is 46 years old, this Joseph Amoresi, by the way, from Easton, Pennsylvania, who won the $7 million. He called his wife. She's a social worker. It's nice.
Nice.
He said, honey, I think we won $7 million. There was silence on the other end of the line. She was too stunned to talk. So both Jody and his wife plan to keep their jobs, in case you're curious, by the way. Which is always a surprise to me, but I guess they're young, so that's what they're doing. Anyway, no word in this article what dad's reaction was. Like, if dad has already committed suicide since this went to press, I don't know. But congratulations, right? That's one of those rare cases where somebody gets given a lottery ticket and actually pays off for it.
I wonder how his hernia is.
I'm sure he's not even thinking about his hernia. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. What do you think?
Screw you, Bean! Screw you! 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 And your Seahawks.
Well, that's unnecessary. That's salt the wound right there. Hey, Activision is in town for the 2015 Call of Duty Championships with a $1 million cash prize for playing a video game. How's that going? We'll talk to Daniel Suarez. He's the vice president of production in Activision on the program today. Our friend Jensen Karp will be here. Allie, have you heard the Kendrick Lamar album, America's number one best-selling record?
I have.
I read so much into those two words.
Yeah, I haven't.
Not for you?
I haven't sat with it like I would like to, because to me, all I'm hearing when I play it is, jazz, funk, and lyrics. And it's not computing enough that
yes,
I can sit
it's a,
with
it's
it.
A, it's a difficult album.
People it is, love it.
It's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
I want to talk to our hip hop correspondent Jensen Karp about that on the program today, because Kendrick is one of those artists. Every once in a while, an artist will come along who is just challenging and fascinating, and I can't get enough of. Yet I'm having trouble with this. So we'll talk to Jensen about that on the program today. A lot of sports to talk about too. Our friend Jim Rome will be with us. We'll talk about crowdfunding. There's a couple of news stories of people trying to get us to give them money so they can do things. Got that on the program today. Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program as well. Got April Foolishness tickets for you. We want you to go to a K-Rock screening of Furious 7 on the program today. Brand new Internet Roundup. The story of the drunk two-year-old. What's up with One Direction? So much show today. And we get it started with Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. I'm sorry, I meant K-M-O-Q.
K-M-O-Q. Gene Bean in the morning.
Kevin Ryder and Gene Bean show. I make a reference to that because there's an ad in, was it yesterday's Hollywood Reporter, I want to say?
It was. Yes, indeed it was.
CBS Radio Network put out a big ad about their the upcoming National Association of Broadcasters Convention, and they spotlighted us because we're receiving the Hall of Fame Award there next
month.
Yeah,
Hall of Fame!
And they got half the show's name wrong and the call letters of the radio station wrong in the print ad in the Hollywood Reporter.
Gene Bean.
I don't want to say that maybe we're a low priority for CBS. And I understand they've got a lot of other media things going on with the network and whatnot. But it seems like they should have, if they've never heard of the show, they should have at least heard of K-Rock, right?
It's quite the honor. Congratulations.
It's been around a long time.
Well, KMOQ is
KMOQ,
world famous.
That's the hotspot.
Well. Yeah.
Should have been somebody in the chain that led to this getting published in a magazine who would have said, hey, let's double check that's KMOQ. That's right. Can we verify that?
Wow, man. You want it all, don't you? You want everything.
What's
you want
happening?
The Hall of Fame, and you want them to get your name right, and you want them to get the station right.
I'm just saying. It's our own company, Rob.
Selfish bastard.
It's our own company.
Man.
All right, time for the showbiz beat here on KMOQ. Here's Ralph.
Come on, Gene Bean.
Wait, did you guys know what KMOQ is?
Well, what is KMOQ? Did you look it up?
It's a radio station broadcasting a contemporary Christian format.
Hallelujah!
That's amazing!
That's our show. We're all about Jesus.
Where is KMOQ?
Licensed out of Columbus, Kansas.
Columbus, Kansas. There you go. Maybe this is this way of telling us they're transferring us. I don't know.
Nobody would be happier than Gene Bean to be on KMOQ in Columbus, Kansas.
I don't know, man.
In the middle of just a patch of dirt, and there's just an antenna and a microphone in a Quonset hut. And that's where Bean would like to be.
I couldn't be on a full-time God station, Ralph. I just
come on, Gene Bean. Of course you could. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. How are we going to go on? Now that One Direction's a man down, how do we move on without Zayn Malik, who apparently was in the band? The others will have to carry on as a four-piece in concert. And on their fifth album, which is due out by the end of the year, Zayn, of course, left One Direction's current tour last week, claiming he was stressed out. Well, now it's all over. Zayn said, "My life with One Direction has been more than I could ever have imagined. But after 5 years, I feel like it is now the right time for me to leave the band. I'd like to apologize to the fans if I've let anyone down. But I have to do what feels right in my heart. I am leaving because I want to be a normal 22-year-old who is able to relax, have some private time out of the spotlight, bang models, do copious amounts of drugs.
And sit on a pile of $25 million.
Yes.
I don't know. We may have to... We got to talk about this.
Yeah, we do. We have to work out through some feelings because how are we going to go through this if we don't deal with it?
Hey, there are a lot of 11-year-olds who are very upset today, Ralph.
Yes, well, that and getting that first pube.
Yeah.
It's very, very complicated.
Here's what's...
confusing.
Here's what's trending on United States Twitter trends right now. Let's buy One Direction. What do you think that's about? Is the plan that the fans buy it and then force Zayn to be in the group? I don't know.
I like it.
Hashtag Zayn will always be part of 1D is also.
Yeah, sure.
Zayn Payne, apparently that's the
catchphrase. Oh, we all have Zayn Payne today.
Zayn Payne. That's also trending. Hashtag always in our hearts, Zayn Malik is also trending.
So R.I.P. Zayn Malik.
Top 10 right now. Yeah. Well, he's not dead. He's just not in the...
But he'll always be in our hearts.
Apparently so.
He'll also be in his house, so don't worry about it. He's not
dead. He's still around. He's fine.
He's fine. No Zayn, no listen? Is that a hashtag? Is that a thing?
I don't think yet, but I would be surprised.
Is anybody talking about that?
A lot of people mad at KMOQ these days.
Sure are. Britney Spears...
Guilty.
Well, I don't think she's been charged anything, but does she have to be... Did she have to be sent to a treatment center over the new year?
Oh, no.
That's what Star Magazine's reporting.
I thought she was doing great now.
That's what everybody thought. But Star is reporting that she had to check into the Summit Malibu Treatment Center late last December for a pill problem. She was abusing a drug called Vyvanse. If I'm pronouncing that correctly. V-Y-V-A-N-S-E. I want to say Vianese, but I believe that means I'm leaving in Spanish, or we're leaving. The word is she was initially prescribed the medication for ADHD, but then started upping the dosage to use them as goofballs, and then her father, Jamie, had to step in and force her into rehab. That's what they're reporting. So, look, at least she got a handle on it. At least she wasn't beating up anybody's SUV with an umbrella or shaving her head.
Yep.
We've all seen it go south.
And by the way, I never heard of any kind of disruption in her Vegas show.
So nope.
That went on fine. No complaints.
Seems like all is well.
Hope she's okay. She looks great these days.
She does. She looks great and she sounds the same. Bear Grylls is coming back. Finally, Bear Grylls. NBC has picked up 6 episodes of a new series called The Island, which pits 14 guys on a deserted island with only minimal survival tools and the clothes on their back. Huh. They must hunt for food, find their own water, build shelter, and forge a community to survive on the show.
So they have to survive on the island?
They have to survive on this island. 14 people will have to survive on the island.
Huh.
Now, wait.
They have to be survivors?
Here's the twist.
Oh, there's a twist.
Unlike regular competition reality shows, The Island will have no prizes, no eliminations, no winner, and no camera crew. The show will be completely filmed by the 14 men themselves. So no prizes, no eliminations, no winner, and no point, apparently,
so
to this show.
You just watch guys living
yep.
on an island.
Wow. Didn't we learn anything from our utopia nightmare, our national nightmare that was utopia? Haven't we learned?
No!
That just setting up cameras and having people just live is not going to cut it?
I don't get this. This is just Big Brother Outdoors is all it is.
Without a winner!
Yeah.
Without eliminations and no prizes.
Huh. Okay.
Bear Grylls, go back to your four-star hotel.
And that's NBC, you said?
NBC. Huh.
He's the cheater, right?
He's the cheater.
Right.
Hey, before I get to the celebrity birthdays, let me give you something, because you're up early, and it sucks. Trust us, we know. To get up early in the morning and to get your day started and go up and doing whatever you need to do right now, let me give you a little something to make you...
Especially without a Diet Dr. Pepper.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I didn't even... Let's make your Thursday a little bit easier to get started. How about passes to the K-Rock screening of Furious 7?
Yay!
It's happening on March the 31st at AMC City Walk. You get to see the movie before anybody else because it's in theaters on April the 3rd, but you'll see it days earlier with a friend. If you want a pair of passes, call me right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that number. Get a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Furious 7. See? Now aren't you happy you got up so early on a Thursday morning? You're going to go see Furious 7. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lots of people born today. One of my personal heroes, one of my lords and saviors is Martin Short, celebrates his 65th birthday today. I don't know what you know about Martin Short, how much you know about Martin Short, but if you're a fan at all of his work on SCTV or Saturday Night Live or in the movies or any place else, do yourself a favor and pick up his autobiography, which I just listened to on tape, not on tape, but you know what I'm saying, audiobook version. Because it's wildly entertaining and he's got a great story, and I would have read the book, but to hear him do the voices of his characters while he's talking about how he came up with his characters is very entertaining. To hear Jiminy Glick and to hear Ed Grimley and all his other characters, very entertaining. Pick it up. 65 years old today. Alan Arkin is 81 years old. James Caan turns 75. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 67. Michael Imperioli, of course, from The Sopranos. Very talented actor, 49 years old. Country singer Kenny Chesney is 47. Actress Leslie Mann is 43. T.R. Knight, actor from Grey's Anatomy, is 42. Actress Amy Smart, I adore her. She's adorable and talented. She's 39. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 30th birthday today. She's just 30. Seems like she's been famous forever.
Yeah.
When did she start acting? When she was 10?
Must have.
Well, she was really young. She was in Bend It Like Beckham. That was her first big break, I guess, and she was... Just a little girl in that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, King. What's going on, man?
You know, wombats and pandas.
That's what's
up.
That's your life.
Yeah.
That's your life.
Thug life.
Dave is here for a feature that we like to do once a week to give you the best viral videos of the week. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KRock.com. Internet Roundup, better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KevinandBean.com.
That's where you find all the best videos of the week, and we start with one. You know how we always ask, how does somebody have the time to put this video together? Because some of these videos that are on for a couple of minutes, they take thousands of hours to put together. Well, this one is every person that Sylvester Stallone has killed in a movie over his 40-year career. How long is this video, King?
This is 34 minutes of awesomeness.
34 minutes
34.
Of sly, just killing. And he ends up killing hundreds of people over the course of his career. And most of the video sounds just like this. Ah! Ah! Oh! It's fairly hypnotizing by the time you get
what I like about this video is the stylings of his kills. Like, you could see, like, first it's a little bit of blood, and then all of a sudden it's just pink mist at the end of the end of the video. So it's pretty funny.
He definitely ramps it up. Speaking of movies, someone has re-edited the movie Up, which is one of the sweetest, nicest movies of all time, and has turned it into a horror movie. What if Carl wasn't such a nice guy after all? It might sound a little something like this.
A sociopath has Alzheimer's and a facility.
Scream all you want. None of your friends can hear you.
You soon find that this is a very dangerous place.
It's pretty terrifying. Somebody has recreated the entirety. Thank you, Jeff. Somebody has recreated the entirety of the Jurassic Park movie. I think this is a family that worked together on this, right?
Yeah, it's a father and daughter. Which
father daughter
cost $100,000.
$100,000 worth of Lego to do a stop motion recreation of the film Jurassic Park with them doing the voices. Here's a taste of it.
Come on now. It's a girl.
Hey, you know, they're all female. Somebody go out into the park and pull up the dinosaur skirts.
We've engineered them that way. It's really not that difficult for a real scientist.
Is he doing George Takei? Is that what he's trying to do there?
I don't know what he's doing there.
James Corden is your new host of The Late Late Show on CBS. We had him on the Kevin and Bean Show last week. Very talented young Brit. Had a great first episode. Allie, I know you watched him. You were very impressed with him.
Extremely impressed.
He had Tom Hanks on, and they did a very funny bit where they basically acted out every Tom Hanks movie in 8 minutes. So you'll hear a little bit. Well, I think you'll recognize some of the movies that they're doing, and each one gets about 10 seconds or so. It's pretty well done.
Mom always said life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
It's a great house. Shall we buy it?
Ready? This is Walter.
Yeah! I cannot solve this case with a dog. I am a policeman. Oh, hooch.
I just love that double Academy Award winner Tom Hanks has to revisit his Turner and Hooch days in that sketch. I love that.
It was so game, too. It was a delight to watch, for sure.
It was very funny. One of the saddest moments, well, for a lot of people's brackets, certainly, but also for people watching at home, was the Villanova Piccolo girl. She plays in the band for Villanova, who were surprisingly eliminated last weekend from the NCAA college basketball tournament. And she was just crying her eyes out while she's playing with the band after the team had lost. Well, Jimmy Fallon invited her to sit in with the Roots on The Tonight Show to play with them. That was cool. And then he interviewed her as well.
I'm looking up at the Jumbotron, so I saw myself. And all I could think about was my dad was at the game. And I was really, I didn't want him to see me crying. But then it turned into, like, everyone saw me crying.
I mean, it's everyone in the whole entire world.
I think Jimmy may have been a little bit too excited for that interview, don't you guys?
But I'll make her cry, you know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
Dang.
He actually wound up giving her Taylor Swift tickets too, Bean.
See, it's a win-win.
That. Yeah.
She's a Swiftie. She's awesome.
Everything wrong with Finding Nemo in 11 minutes or less. This is gonna hurt for people who love that movie.
Movie kicks you in the balls at the 4-minute mark, and your balls will not recover. Oh, man. I'm only laughing because when I went to Wikipedia to research that earlier sin about breeding habits of the clownfish, I read that they're hermaphrodites. So if the alpha female of the clan is killed, the strongest male remaining becomes female and takes her place, which means Nemo is destined to be a chick.
Honest Trailers is back, too. This time they're taking on The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Martin Freeman shines in his well-acted, charming portrayal of Bilbo Baggins. And once again, he's turned into an extra in his own movie. Because once again, it's all about the mopey Dwarf King, who's grown from a mopey dick brooding over his lost gold to a mopey dick brooding over his found gold.
They can sure make any movie, no matter how much you enjoyed it, look dumb, can't they, Dave?
I have not seen any one of those films, but...
Really?
Yeah, just seeing this video made me feel like I was there, and I don't need to see it at all. I was like, oh, good, got it.
I wasn't aware that people were still making fun of Brooklyn, New York as being a hipster haven, but this is a very funny video about a game, board game, that they've invented, an award-winning game of entitlement, self-discovery, and brunch. So if you like making fun of Brooklyn, you'll love this.
In the land of Brooklawn, there are 5 resources available. Coffee, bicycles, vinyl, skinny jeans, and kale.
All I have is kale.
Resource cards can be used to upgrade your loft to a condo or build out your brunch so you can win the longest brunch card worth 2 victory points.
Just very funny. We're going through the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can see all these videos at Kirec.com or KevinandBean.com. We're up to the Outside Lands lineup announcement. This is the big concert that's held every year in San Francisco, and they put together a very cool video to announce the lineup. It looks like what? An old 70s TV infomercial, right?
Yeah, it looks like a cereal commercial, kind of.
Yeah, it's really cool. Check it out.
Howdy, neighbor.
Hey.
You hear the news? Kendrick Lamar is playing at Outside Lands.
Yes, I heard just now from you. Also, I heard D'Angelo and Sam Smith are playing.
That's great information to hear. You're a Billy Idol fan, right?
But of course. But why are those words coming out of your mouth?
Because he's playing.
Very clever. Let's Make a Deal had a little bit of a surprise. This is the TV show hosted by Wayne Brady. When two contestants get up, they're dressed like cowboys, and one of them has a very special thing he wants to say and do on television.
Can I give a little shout-out?
Of course.
Ron, will you marry me?
Today's the day. Today's the day in which they cry and laugh. In which Ronald's gonna give him half. Today's the day.
And the audience is just going crazy. Dave, do you think that Wayne Brady knew ahead of time that was going to happen, or did he just improv that song on the spot?
I think he knew if the band knew. And where did they get that band from?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like
I don't know. I think they. I don't know what they do on Let's Make a Deal, but it's a very, very sweet moment. And finally, Rob Corddry back in the media spotlight. He's got to Children's Hospital. Just came back on Adult Swim, and he did a piece for Rolling Stone where I think, you know, because he, you know, plays a doctor or a nurse. Which is he in Children's Hospital?
He's a clown doctor.
He gets asked medical questions, and he does a pretty good job of answering them for us.
Get ready to have your blown off, ladies.
If a rash suddenly appears in a strange place on my body, what should I do?
Impossible question to answer because I don't consider any of the parts of my body strange. So if a rash showed up on a strange area, I'd be confused as to what that area is. Next!
Love Rob Corddry. See these videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup on kevinandbean.com.
Direction. Oh my god, oh my god, I'm peeing in my pants. I am shitting all over myself. It is One Direction.
That's the level of excitement we used to be able to have for our five boys from Britain, but it is no more as Zayn Malik has quit the band in a stunning announcement yesterday. Here's what it said, the press release. After five incredible years, Zayn Malik has decided to leave One Direction. Neil, Harry, Liam, and Lewis will continue as a four-piece and look forward to the forthcoming concerts of their world tour and recording their fifth album due to be released later this year. Then Zayn added this statement, "My life with One Direction has been more than I could ever have imagined, but after 5 years, I feel like it is now the right time for me to leave the band. I'd like to apologize to the fans if I've let anyone down, but I have to do what I feel is right in my heart." That's a big sack of lies, right?
No,
that's
I don't
not
think
really
so.
What's happening here.
I don't. Why do you say that? I think that's
because
probably
who,
true.
Who walks away from a band like One Direction after four number one albums in a row and tour after tour around the world of selling out and making tens of millions of dollars,
right?
And only being what 22 years old,
right? And he said that's a big part of why he's leaving, right? Because he wants to go be a 22 year old.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
I think it's brilliant because, listen, this band isn't going to be together forever, right?
No band is?
No band is.
Except the Rolling Stones.
Right. So he's leaving at some time. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to leave, and I'm assuming he wants to still have a musical career, he doesn't say he's leaving music, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to leave and you want to start a solo career, what better time to do it than when you are a white-hot property and people still give a rat's ass about what you do. If you wait until you're doing the Orange County Fair, if you're a One Direction and you're showing up at casinos in the small room, then you leave and then you got nothing.
Leave on top.
Now he goes off and then when the Zayn album comes out next year, people will buy it in droves. Hmm.
I don't know enough about Zayn to know whether he is harboring some sort of secret solo career Justin Timberlake type fantasies, or if he even has that kind of talent to do something like that.
You kidding me? He is Zayn.
No, I'm not kidding you.
He is Zayn.
Right.
He's in Zayn in the membrane.
Right, but which one is he, though?
He's Zayn.
He's the brunette one?
He's the one with the hair and the facial hair also. Mm-hmm.
I suspect that One Direction without Zayn will sound exactly like One Direction with Zayn.
Right.
That's my guess.
But Zayn, when he does his solo work, doesn't have to split the money five ways.
No, that's true. I don't know. He just seems so young, and after 5 years, it seems so unlike. Look, you have to admit at least that this is shocking that somebody so young would walk away from something that makes so much money. Most people would ride that camel until it dropped dead.
Yeah, but if you have a bunch of money already, and what's he got? What's the estimate? 35 mil? Is that what his net worth
something,
is?
Something in that ballpark,
something
I think,
like
probably,
that.
Yeah.
He's got that already, and maybe he's just had an ass full of it. Maybe after 5 years on the merry-go-round, he just wants to get off.
A lot of rumors.
Let's talk about the rumors, Ellie. Let's talk about the girlfriend, first of all, because some people are suggesting that this is maybe just a ploy to keep his lady because he's been having some trouble maybe on the road with his keeping his relationship intact back home, right?
Yeah, this seemed to come out at a very interesting time. Pictures went online of him in the Philippines holding someone's hand-ish, a girl around all the time, but he's got a girlfriend. Is she a fiance? Her name's Perry Edwards, back in the UK. Mm-hmm. So this all broke, and then it became,
photos of him holding hands-ish with someone?
Yeah, that's enough when you're 22.
My goodness.
For that the internet enough. Just
no
to
wonder
go
Perry's
nuts.
Perry's head must have exploded.
I know.
He was almost touching someone's hand in a photograph.
I mean, he did. Remember, 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was now, you know, since Zayn left, it's hard for me to keep track of time or what really matters.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
But he did leave, you know, the statement was due to stress. He missed a couple of dates on the tour to rush back home and be with his girlfriend. And maybe he just thought, maybe at this point in his life, he thinks the girlfriend is everything.
But remember,
Bean, doesn't want to risk it. What?
Remember last November what happened?
Oh, remember what happened?
Remember? They all flew out to debut new songs on the Today Show.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Except for Zayn.
What?
He did not fly out because he had, in air quotes, a tummy bug. And Matt Lauer said to the guys on stage, "Are you sure it's not substance abuse?" And
what?
They said, no, it's a tummy bug. He'll be fine. He'll be here. And then he came the next day, performed. Apparently looked pretty skinny. All these pictures online. He looks gaunt. He looks lifeless. He's losing so much weight. Oh, my God. Is he a heroin addict?
Oh, sweet Lord.
Yes.
Now it's heroin.
Now
is
it's heroin.
Is Perry, his girlfriend, almost holding his hand with a heroin needle in it?
Yeah.
How do you jump from he missed one TV appearance because he was sick to now he's clearly riding the white horse?
Internet.
It's chasing the dragon.
The internet.
Zayn is chasing the dragon.
I have heard anything.
These are the rumors.
He has a heroin tummy bug.
And he got really. I'm sorry?
These aren't the rumors, by the way.
No, they are the rumors.
This
no,
is just you going, oh, Zayn
no,
left the bed.
This
must
is
be
Matt
heroin.
Lauer.
This is and Allie then, starting the rumors.
No,
exactly.
Allegedly.
This is Allie saying, I heard it from a guy, is what this is.
No,
heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend?
You could Google it. But Matt Lauer, Zayn wound up getting very angry at Matt Lauer for even saying such a thing.
Maybe he's quitting One Direction to start a full-time fatwa against Matt Lauer.
Possible.
All right, what's your prediction of...
My prediction?
Where's one,
pain.
Where,
Zayn
how
pain.
Does, how does this play out for One Direction? How does this play out for Mr. Malik?
Okay, predictions.
1D is fine, right?
Sure.
Now, were the Spice Girls fine without Ginger? Because that's the comparison that comes to mind for me right now.
No, they were not.
They were not fine, right?
No. But here's the thing. I knew the Spice Girls, and I knew them individually, personality-wise, because I was a big fan. I don't know this band at all, so it doesn't make a difference to me, but it might make a difference to hardcore 1Ders.
Is there somebody out there for whom Zayn is their favorite person in the band?
Oh, sure.
I'm sure there is, yes.
So for that person, this is heartbreak.
This is they're rocking. It's just a nightmare. But I think it's more upside for him than obviously for the band. I think the band now is going to have to overcome this. I think he will be fine.
As fine as
spin-offs from boy bands could be. I think he'll go off and he'll record something, and then he'll fall or rise on whatever merit he has there and whatever interest there is from fans to listen to his music.
It was a lot of fun yesterday to go online and see all the vines that the 1D fans were putting up because they, you know, many of them, as you can imagine, were very heartbroken. Here's just a couple of them. All right, sounds like she's not taking well.
Please come back, Zayn.
The best ever seen. I can't. Please.
And here's my favorite.
No!
Oh, Jesus.
Tough for that guy to move on.
From their album Good News for People Who Love Bad News, that's Modest Mouse here on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. I love Modest Mouse, by the way, Allie, and I love their song titles. Mm-hmm. They have a song on the new album called God is an Indian and You're an Asshole.
I think that's pretty exact as well.
That's very clever. Very clever, that band. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning. Here's a story, thank God, that has a happy ending. It could have been very tragic. It's in Texas at a restaurant called The restaurant is called the Texas Roadhouse. It's actually in Asheville, North Carolina. Last Friday night, a young family was there celebrating the father's birthday. These are the Gilliams. Derek was turning 25 years old. He was there with his wife and their 2-year-old daughter, Gabriella. Well, Mrs. Gilliam, Tiffany, she says that the waitress came around and served cranberry juice to the table, except apparently what was given to little 2-year-old Gabriella was not cranberry juice, it was sangria.
Oh, no.
Honest mistake from the waitress, but she accidentally served a 2-year-old alcohol. Now, I had no idea how dangerous that would be for a little kid, but I guess it makes sense. I mean, you've got so little body weight that I would imagine that you'd only have to take a few sips before you would really start to feel it if you were 2, right?
Yeah.
Little Gabriella was throwing up. They took her to the hospital, obviously. She was diagnosed as accidental alcohol ingestion. Mom had to rub her belly all night long. She was afraid that she was going to vomit. I mean, it just looks like a terrible situation. The restaurant feels terrible about it. They said it was an honest mistake. They even sent an employee to the hospital with the family to make sure that the kid was going to be okay. The little girl had said that the juice tasted funny, and that's when they realized it was sangria instead of juice. So we wanted to find out how little Gabriella is doing right now. She is 2, again, remember, and she is on the phone with us right now from her home in Asheville, North Carolina, where we hope she is recovering splendidly. Hi, Gabriella. How are you, my dear? We're doing fine. It sounds like you had quite a scare at the Texas Roadhouse last Friday night.
I had a good time at the Roadhouse.
but this was several days ago. You're sober now, right?
I am. Time for a little cranberry juice.
Well, be careful with that. Make sure it's really cranberry juice.
Oh, Gabriella, it said that you were actually staggering around and kissing everything. That's how they knew. What was that like for you?
I was happy.
Yeah.
And I'm still happy.
Uh-huh.
And I look forward to getting happier. Oh.
Okay, but you're not really still drinking. Oh, no. You okay?
Yeah, I just had a little burp.
You're not really still drinking, though. This was a one-time thing, and it was clearly an accident and could have been very serious for your health.
It was a one-time thing, and now I'm making it a 2-time thing.
Where are your parents, Gabriella?
Yeah, where are the parents?
Well, Mama's on the pole, and Daddy's putting a gun rack in the truck.
Okay, you need supervision, young lady. We've got to keep you out of the alcohol.
Listen, lamestream media, you don't tell me what to do. I'm an American. At least for the time being, until Obama's done.
What? Where's all this coming from?
North Carolina.
You're a very angry 2-year-old drunk.
Right,
still drinking.
Put down the sippy cup, Gabriella.
I like cranberry juice. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Gabriella. Oh, come on. That's your body weight. Come on. Oh.
That's a lot of Cheerios.
Talking sports with Jim Rome later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky will be here as well. By the way, Ralph Garman, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, not only do we unveil the top 10 potential opening acts for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which is going to be super fun.
Sure.
Comedian Natasha Leggero on the program.
I love Natasha.
Comedian Ben Glebe on the program.
Love the Glebe.
Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead on the program.
Love.
Cuddy.
And I know, right? And then Tuesday, The stars of iZombie will be here, Rose McIver and David Anders, on Tuesday morning. Zombie. And a little band you may have heard of called Mumford & Sons.
Yay!
What?
Mumford & Sons Tuesday morning right here.
They are coming in, and they'll be here on the show. And I hope they'll sing some songs, because they sing real good. Because they sing real good.
There you go. Anyway, good stuff still to come here on the Kevin Abid Show. Time now for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's new?
Angelina Jolie's decision to have her breasts, ovaries, and fallopian tubes removed is getting worldwide praise from doctors and the medical community. Dr. Christy Funk, boy, if she's not a DJ, she should be, because that's an awesome name. Dr. Christy Funk says that going public with the news has made an undeniable difference in physician awareness, genetic screening, and risk assessment for people who carry potentially the deadly BRCA gene, which is the indicator gene that you may have a predisposition to breast or ovarian cancer. So Angelina Jolie being so public about her decision, they said it's really helped screen people and have other people, you know, they have to make the decision for themselves what they choose to do with their treatment, but it's really caused enormous awareness around the world, which is awesome.
Hmm.
By the way, if you want to know if you, perhaps you carry the BRCA gene, there is a great website called Pink Lotus Breast Cancer, PinkLotusBreastCenter.com. And on their website, they have a risk assessment quiz that you can take. It only takes about a minute online to take this quiz, and you can see if you may carry the BRCA gene, and then you can have talk to your doctor about it and see if perhaps you can take some treatment options. So PinkLotusBreastCenter.com is the name of the website.
Amazing place in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, absolutely. So check it out. Sony has announced they're putting together a third Smurfs movie. Woo! 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 Smurfs! It's going to be rolling out in 2017, right before Easter that year. You may mock, and I do, but the first one made $563 million.
Oh, my gosh!
In 2011. The sequel took in $347 million in 2013. So if they get half of that, let's say they get $175 million in box office, it'll still be well worth their troubles.
I don't remember much about the Smurfs movies. Were there were they all animated, or was this a mix of real people and animation?
It was a mix of real people and animation.
Who was in that?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah, okay.
And The buggy-eyed redhead from Glee. Mr. Shoe's girlfriend.
Okay, gotcha.
Can't remember her name right now.
Yeah, gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
Wow, a lot of Smurfs fans
and
out there.
And I think Hank Azaria played Azariel, or Ezekiel, or what the hell is it? Gargamel. Gargamel was the bad guy, right? The cat's name was Ezekiel. Come on, help me out here. Come on, Chip.
I can't. Chip, you're a Smurf. I know nothing about Smurfs.
You're a Smurf. How can you not help me? How can
I fill the details? I'm a rusty on my Smurf lore.
You are, but you are one.
Smurf lore.
You're Dolphin Smurf. And your little blue dolphin shirt over there.
It's green, Ralph. It's green.
It's not green. It's blue.
Green.
Blue.
Green.
Dolphin colors are blue and orange.
It's teal.
Green.
Oh.
And orange.
Smurf doesn't even know what blue is. While we're talking about sequels, Barbershop 3. Deadline reports Ice Cube and Cedric the Entertainer in talks to return for the sequel of the sequel. Queen Latifah and Nicki Minaj also talking about reprising their roles in Barbershop.
I'm fine with that. Those were good movies.
They were very funny films.
Yeah.
And in TV news, we've got a release date finally for, or not a premiere date rather, for Ray Donovan, one of my favorite shows.
Yes.
On Showtime. Ray Donovan and the third season of Masters of Sex will both return on the same night on Showtime. Sunday, July the 12th is when we'll get our shows back. So I'm looking forward to that. Really interesting cast this year. Ray Donovan, besides the regular cast, will feature guest appearances by Ian McShane and Katie Holmes, of all people. And Justin Bieber's getting back to his day job, finally. I guess he decided he might as well make some music. He's headlining the UK's Fusion Festival in Birmingham, which runs from August 28th through the 30th. Doesn't it seem like his music is just irrelevant anymore?
Yes,
like,
totally.
Does anybody care about what he does musically? It's not a thing, right?
I think One Direction had a lot to do with that, by the way. I think they kind of replaced him as the teen girl's sweet spot.
Maybe Bieber joins One Direction. They form a super group.
What?
One Bieber. Justin Direction.
One DB.
All right.
Because douchebag.
I'm going to go get you some diet Dr. Pepper because you need it.
One D and then B for Bieber, so it's one D.
Like. Real quick email from Jason Broncar. You know, we've been doing this woke up with a new Bugatti thing over and over again. It's been our new thing. We've been having a lot of fun with it.
We're finally burying that?
We're having a lot of fun with it, but not everyone is appreciating it. And that makes me sad. Like, Jason Broncar here wrote this in, and I feel bad. He said, please stop playing that song. It's not because I don't like it or anything. It just brings up too many painful memories of my old girlfriend, Dorothy. We used to hear that song frequently when we first started going out, and it's almost like it became our song. Needless to say, now, whenever you play it, all I can remember is the fact that it's over. You see, I broke up with my girlfriend, Dottie. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I broke up with my girlfriend, Dottie. I broke up with my girlfriend, Dottie. I broke up with my girlfriend, Dottie.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Jason. You broke up with Dottie. No one gets me.
Well, you must be really happy.
I am. Cat's mom. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bunch of stars born on this, the 26th of March. Alan Arkin is 81 years old today, one of my favorite actors. James Caan, another great actor, 75. Steven Tyler is 67. Comedy legend Martin Short is 65 years old today. Michael Imperioli is 49. Kenny Chesney, the country singer, is 47. Actress Leslie Mann, 43. T.R. Knight of Grey's Anatomy fame is 42 years old. Actress Amy Smart is 39. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
5 o'clock this afternoon, once again on K-Rock. We want you to win your way into Coachella, plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house. And we're also giving away a new car. It's a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. Grand prize drawing will be on Friday, April the 10th. You can get all the details at KRock.com. But again, every weekday at 5, right here on K-Rock, we've got your Coachella tickets. Forget your college basketball alley. The real tournament is happening in Los Angeles this weekend at the Event Deck at LA Live. 25 countries have contributed 32 teams. Ultimately, there will be one champion, $1 million total prize pool. We're talking about the athletes playing Call of Duty.
Yay!
Call of Mother Effin' Duty. That's what we're talking about. Championship this weekend. The Vice President of Production for Activision is Daniel Suarez. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Suarez. How are you, sir?
Hey, Bean. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Say hi to Allie.
Hey, Allie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
How does one get a job working for Call of Duty? Like, that already, you got our listeners' attention, because that seems like a dream gig.
It is my dream job come true. It is. I am totally thrilled to have this job. And although it's a lot of hard work, I am blessed to be able to work with some awesomely creative development teams on the technology side, the art side. And it's great. It's been an amazing ride and continues to be an amazing ride. We are literally one of the biggest entertainment franchises in the world and deliver an amazing experience to fans year over year. We've got a 40 million strong player base of players that are going to be really excited this weekend for our COD Champs event. But, yeah, I'm very lucky to do what I do and thrilled because I grew up being a gamer.
That was going to be my question. Was this the plan all along? Like, in your best-case scenario, were able to take the hobby that you already loved and turn it into a career?
You know, I would love to say that I planned all of this, but a lot of it was meeting the right people, a lot of hard work, and just being at the right place at the right time. So,
Good for you. All right. This tournament this weekend, this is the third annual Call of Duty Championship. I guess the first question would be, do we need to start taking this seriously? And is e-gaming now a sport?
Absolutely. For us, we've been in the sort of competitive sports, esports area now for a number of years. And if you look at the numbers alone, they've just literally just been insane numbers. I think total number of people that are watching sort of just competitive esports in general is roughly around 70 million people. And that's growing year over year. And for Call of Duty alone, like we had 1 million people watching our event last year. We expect it to be even bigger numbers this year. And it's a worldwide event. You have people now that have really embraced esports through the ability to live stream via MLG LG TV, through Twitch, through YouTube, and people literally will spend hours upon hours just watching people play, to one, to hone their craft in the game themselves.
That's unbelievable.
But just watch the amazing skills that these guys are able to kind of show off in the game. It's like watching the equivalent of, for them, what is the Michael Jordan of basketball, being the equivalent of these guys being amazing players at Call of Duty.
Yeah, and it's like an all-star game, too, because you get the best players, as I mentioned, from 25 countries, from five continents. So these are the best players of Call of Duty all around the world in one place at one time. Now, is there also a live audience that's there to watch it in person?
There is. So this year we actually opened it up to ticket sales, and we sold out pretty quick. So we're actually having it at the LA Live event deck. It's a three-day event starting on Friday. The championship event is Sunday at 2 p.m. And, yeah, you get a crowd of people that are dedicated, diehard Call of Duty fans. They're watching the double elimination tournament over the course of the 2 days. And, literally, they are people that know the game, are intent, are cheering for their teams, but literally just analyzing every piece of the action, from every grenade that's thrown to every sort of strategic element of the game. So it's intense, and when the game is on and it's an important game and it's getting down to that final minute, you can just feel the intensity in the room.
So you sold out this event, but people can still watch online. But in terms of the people that are coming down to LA Live to watch it, are these people flying in from all over as well, the spectators?
Yeah, we do. We have a huge community of fans that have been with us for a long time. They will fly in for this event. In terms of the professional teams, like you guys mentioned, you know, we have teams from Australia, Brazil, Finland, Italy, Spain, all coming in. Each team has four players, so it's four pro players, plus they have their managers, their coaches, et cetera. So it's a pretty big sort of event, and they all have their entourages. There's corporate sponsors for these teams.
I know
Red Bull and
Monster
Energy Drink.
It's unbelievable. Managers, yeah. Coaches, and corporate sponsors, Daniel?
Yep, they do. It's a big business, and it's only getting bigger. And
Daniel,
we're seeing it getting bigger. Yes.
I need to know.
Yes.
Groupies?
You know, I wouldn't say there's groupies. There probably is, but I haven't seen that yet. But I wouldn't rule that out to happen in the near future.
All right, let me flip the question. Are there any girls in the competition this year?
There are not any girls in the competition, but there are girl esports teams, and they are growing in number year over year. We have a lot of female competitive gamers. We have a lot of female fans in our community, and some of them are amazing players. Some of our best community people are female fans that have been with us for a really long time, and they support our community on Twitter, on YouTube. So a huge part of our fan base, critically important, and there will be a huge female contingent really watching and engaging at the event this weekend.
Do the people in the audience in attendance at LA Live this weekend, do they ever yell out strategies to the players, or are they meant? Is it like tennis where they're meant to stay quiet?
You know, it really depends on the intensity of the game. Yeah, you will see guys like, you know, throwing out the peanut gallery comments like, no, you know, shouldn't have done that, or should, you know, throw the grenade, or, you know, but these guys are skilled players. It's these guys.
They don't need the help.
Best of the best. They don't need the help. And the way we stage it up, you know, they've got their headsets. They're in a specific sort of closed out room for the championship game. So they are literally in a quiet, enclosed environment so they can just focus on the game. And, you know, we want the fans to sort of be sort of creating that sort of intensity and vibe for them to really sort of rally from it.
Daniel, you mentioned a million people watched last year. I'm kind of surprised this isn't on television yet.
There has been broadcasts on ESPN and other TV broadcast channels, but really for us, you know, we're going to be live streamed worldwide on Xbox Live this weekend. You can catch the entire tournament on Xbox Live.
So who needs TV, really, right? If you watch it online, well, who needs a TV?
Right. Well, we're also going to be on CallOfDuty.com and then MLG.TV, and then the final game will be on Sunday at 2 p.m. On Xbox Live.
All right. My final question for you, Mr. Suarez, and I'm so glad we had you on. This sounds like a fantastic event that I know a lot of our listeners are going to want to check out, and that is, what is it that the best Call of Duty players in the world do that guys like you and I aren't able to do? What makes them so special?
Well, I think it goes to your first question, is it a sport? And I think these guys, much like every other sport, you know, they practice, they refine their skill, they think of strategies, and they dedicate the time and training to really become the best of what they do. And people kind of laugh at, oh, they practice video games, but they really do, and they dedicate a ton of time to it. And, you know, much like some of the great sort of sports athletes, they are the best because that's what they do. They're dedicated to it. And I think you see it. Again, if you know the game and respect the game and understand how the game works, you see what these guys are doing, and you know, I've been on this franchise for almost 10 years. I see these guys do what they do, and I'm amazed. I consider myself to be a noob player, and I've actually played. I've had the ability to sit down with these guys at a tournament, and I was pretty much humiliated. I will never do it ever again.
What's the average age of these competitors?
So it's 18 and up. So I'd say the core career of these players is roughly between like 18 and like 26. But then there's entrepreneurial ways for these guys to continue to sort of be in the sort of scene. So they either will then go and start their own teams, they'll manage teams. A lot of these guys that started early on are now what we call sort of broadcasters for esports, and they've made a career out of that. Or some of them even actually work and consult in game development. So we've actually worked with a lot of these guys to build in tools to our game to make the esports sort of broadcast better, to make the game more tuned for esports competition. So it's become a pretty big sort of springboard to get these people into gaming, but also to sort of expand our audience into a wider view of players.
Couldn't love it anymore, Daniel. Couldn't love it anymore. The third annual Call of Duty Championship is happening all weekend long. As you heard Daniel say, there's tons of places, including callofduty.com, where you can watch the thing live. $1 million total prize pool. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic event. We really enjoyed talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much. Been a huge fan for a long time, so thanks.
Talking sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the Kevin and Bean hip-hop correspondent Jensen is going to be on with us in a few minutes talking about the new Kendrick Lamar album, which is number one this week, by the way. But I have a lot of feelings about the Kendrick Lamar album. Hey, Allie?
Yes, Bean?
You sounded surprised that I was talking to you.
No, a little bit.
Are you busy? You doing something else?
No, good.
Pilots 2015, the year of ethnic castings, about time or too much of a good thing? This is an article from Deadline.com that has created quite a controversy in our town. Here's why. The shows with ethnic actors and actresses have become very popular on TV this past season. Shows like How to Get Away with Murder, which is a huge hit, Blackish, huge hit, Fresh Off the Boat, doing very well, Jane the Virgin, and of course, your favorite, Empire.
Love it.
So now what's happening, according to this reporter for this website, is that thanks to those huge ratings, all the other people who are making television now are scrambling to try to hire whatever available diverse actors they can find. Hey, find me a minority. Get me a minority for this role. And it is suggested in this article, I S you not, that this is perhaps unfair for white actors who may not be able to get as much work on television.
Oh, Nelly. She's the author, by the way. Nelly, come on.
I can't believe it either. Ugh. So now a white man can't get a break in this economy anymore. What the hell is going on with this?
Ugh, the man's holding them down, Bean.
Apparently
that's what's happening.
So. As you can imagine, this has created quite a firestorm of controversy, including Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. Here's what she tweeted when she saw the article. First reaction, hell no. Let me take off my earrings. Somebody hold my purse. Second reaction, this article is so ignorant, I can't even be bothered. So we wanted to find out, is it a legitimate complaint that white people can't get roles on TV anymore because of all of the black and Latino people? Or is it just, are we making too much out of nothing? What's the deal? So there's one person we go to whenever we have questions of this type, and he is our good friend Bruce Endicott, who has been a valuable resource to the Kevin and Bean Show over the years, and he joins us from Coffee on the phone right now. Hi, Mr. Endicott. Thanks so much for coming on with us today, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. For some of our listeners who may not remember, Coffee stands for what, sir?
We are a social organization, and our main purpose is to bridge the gap between races, between the sexes, between sexual orientation. The actual name Coffee itself stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay, gotcha.
So we're an all-inclusive group, and we try here at Coffee, we try to explain to the other people exactly how these social politics should work.
Now, I'm sorry, when you say the other people, it makes it sound like you're not all inclusive. It sounds like you're
maybe
separate.
Those of us here in Coffee are all Caucasian, Protestant, upper class. But we think it's our duty to sort of extend the olive branch to those other people who are there.
Wow. Have you considered maybe some diversity within your own organization? Do you think that might help
We're
you kind of see things through?
Very diverse.
You are.
6 months ago, we just had a Jew. huge All right. So we're very happy.
Start.
All right. Well, right. let's turn our attention to the article that we just discussed
yes,
from Deadline.com.
By all means. And here's the thing. We believe, really, as the name Coffee infers, that to for friendship enveloping everyone. And ordinarily, you know, what we do is we stand up for the cause of the minorities. But we have to be fair. And in this case, white people are getting the shaft. This article is absolutely right. How can a white person get a job on television anymore? When will a white person be able to get an acting gig? That's
but
what we're
Bruce,
asking about.
90, I don't have it in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet that 90% of the actors on television in primetime are white.
I beg to differ. The shows you talked about, Fresh Off the Boat, Blackish, How to Get Away with Murder, Empire. When is my son or daughter going to be able to look at a television screen and see a white face represented?
I think okay. 24 hours a day on any channel is a start for you, Bruce.
When will white people be able to see someone that they can recognize in film or television? I mean, it's so hard for whitey to get a job out there.
Okay, but Bruce, what's wrong with television showing more diverse stories about African-American families, about Asian families? I mean, those are legitimate dramatic stories as well.
Absolutely. But what about white families? When is a white family going to be represented on television? That's what we at Coffee are asking.
But if you're enveloping everyone with friendship, aren't you happy seeing maybe a Cristela on the air? You're enveloping.
I'm sure he or she, Cristela, whoever that is very talented. And I'm glad she has a job. But I don't want to see white people unable to get any work in Hollywood. It just breaks my heart. That's all I'm asking. A level playing ground is all we're asking for.
Okay, what about this? What about Andre on Empire? He's married to a white woman on the show. How about that?
One token white woman. Typical. Typical. They just throw in a random white person on the show, and it's just, really, I feel bad for white artists out there. And to try to correct the situation, we are proposing to many of the major networks some ideas for white TV shows that we think maybe should be on the air.
Apparently, I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I'll listen to what you have to say, but it seems to me like there's certainly plenty of white faces represented.
Well, first of all, white face, that's just racially insensitive. No one performs in white face anymore. It's just inappropriate.
Okay,
but
that's
I think
not a thing.
The series Blackish, how about Whitish?
Well, we don't need that. I mean, no.
So how about Jewish?
No.
Oh, so you don't like the Jews? Is that how it is?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we don't need a TV show about Jews.
Fresh Off the Boat. How about Fresh Off the Mayflower? Talking about families that go way back to the original founding fathers of this country.
I see. All right.
How to Get Away with Murder. I think a white version could be How to Get Away with Funding a Large Part of Your Income into Offshore Accounts.
That doesn't sound like a very exciting TV show.
Or for Empire, how about Umpire? Story of a white guy that works in Major League Baseball.
I'm in. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Beach. We're here on a Thursday morning at 7:37. Talking sports with Jim Rome coming up. Dr. Drew later on the program as well. First, though, Kendrick Lamar has been on my mind a lot lately this week. Ali, as you and I discussed earlier today, is the number one album in America. And it's been a long time since I've seen rave reviews like for this record. Entertainment Weekly says he's the best rapper alive. It got a 9.3 on Pitchfork, an A+ on Consequence of Sound. That's their rating review. On TheVerge.com, they called it the best album of the 21st century. I like it a lot, but is it an all-time classic? You've listened to it. What do you think?
I have my description of it. And like I said before, I need to sit with it more because I haven't been able to just kind of let it envelop me, if you will. Mm-hmm. But when I hear it, it's like, ooh, jazz, funk, blah, lyrics. Blah, blah, blah. And I can't take it all in. It's almost too much.
Yeah, it is definitely a challenging record. So whenever we have questions about hip-hop, there's one man we go to. He is Kevin and Bean's hip-hop correspondent, himself a former major label rapper as well, in addition to doing so many other things. Our good friend Jensen Karp is on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
Jensen Karp, your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right. I can't believe you're white. Jensen Karp, come on, blow up the spot. The world famous K-Rock, let's talk hip-hop.
Jensen, you got yourself your own intro now, son.
Oh my gosh, that's more important than my major label album. That was the most incredible thing I've ever heard. I have a theme song.
You have a theme song. Congratulations, you made it. Now, first of all, before we put you on the spot here about the Kendrick Lamar album,
yeah.
Are you doing okay with Zayn out of One Direction? Is this an okay day for us to talk to you, or do you need to take a minute?
I mean, yesterday was harder. Today, I've put it together. I feel like I was talked off the cliff already, so I'm fine.
Okay, good. All right, Kendrick Lamar. I like it. I don't love it. Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay, tell me why.
Okay, there's many reasons. There's many reasons. One is as a hip-hop sort of archivist, so as someone that has just sort of studied this art form, you have to understand that the first few albums of someone's career, you have to just throw away towards dance music or talking about how much money they have. Okay, that's sort of just something you have to get used to, is that there's never any substance towards someone's early part of their career. A good example of that, not that the Outkast records that they've ever released are bad at all, but you can see the growth that Outkast put together over like 6 years, from going from Player's Ball, their original song, which is just talking about how nice their cars are, to sort of Bombs Over Baghdad, mm-hmm. like how much they evolved over time and started dressing weirder. What Kendrick has done with To Pimp a Butterfly is sort of just get past all of that so quickly and evolve into someone who's actually saying something of substance during a time where Nicki Minaj can't stop rapping about her butthole. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the growth and sort of the substance in which he's rapping during a time of such, like, racial tension. He's actually saying something and doing it with good music, and that is so rare in hip-hop, at least in 2015.
So, in other words, this is an album that you were expecting from Kendrick Lamar if he stayed as good as it looked like he was going to be on Good Kid, Mad City, but you expected it 4 albums from now.
If he even got there, you know, if he even got to that point. I mean, it's really, when Public Enemy was coming out back in the 80s and even in the 90s. Like,
and that's what this album reminds me a lot of, is Public Enemy.
Yeah, and it's the cultural significance of what's going on racially and with Ferguson and these things are going on, to actually have a spokesperson in hip-hop that is good at rapping is so rare. It's so, you don't expect it. I think the record sounds like Diggable Planets at times, which is sort of a name from the past. It also obviously has a lot of Parliament reference. This is a good hip-hop record that actually means something, and I think that's why you're seeing so many people connect with it. And what Ali was saying, with it's very hard to listen to. She goes, all those things are happening. I think that kind of in-your-face aggression on this record you don't hear on the first record so much, and that's because it's a different time culturally. And the fact that we have a rapper that reflects, that's amazing.
And the fact that he brings in so many different genres with the jazz coming in, with the funk, with everything.
Yeah.
Samples, right? Right, to Johnson?
He used samples he has them replayed. So there are things that he sort of reuses with incredible jazz musicians and incredible musicians in general, like Thundercat, who's an amazing Los Angeles bassist. And there's certain things on this record. It's just a thoughtful record, and we listen to people like Tyga and these rappers who just they make a sort of move or dance or whatever, but they don't say anything important.
They're just making pop songs, right?
And that's it.
What is Kendrick trying to tell us? I mean, I a lot of the think pieces that I saw on this To Pimp a Butterfly album talked about whether you had to be black to even understand or enjoy this record. It's so black, but what is he trying to tell us?
I mean, I guess that like the Black or the Berry, these songs that how much does a dollar cost? These songs on the record that actually that talk about his sort of experience. I've, as a white listener, have always, even when I was a kid listening to Ice Cube records and stuff, and I know that they're talking about something from their experiences that I can't sort of live through as a kid who grew up in the suburbs. But I understand it, and it helps me sort of realize what's going on outside of my little suburban bubble. And I think that this record does that the most since those days, is the idea that you can listen to it and actually learn something, and not just sort of be this couch commentator of what's been going on in Ferguson and such. I think he's more or less, hip hop has always been the CNN of the streets, and
that was Chuck D's line, right? That's what he wanted PE to be back in the day.
Yeah.
I know you love hip hop as much as anyone in my circle of friends, and you've got to get up on this podcast where you talk about it a lot. How comfortable are you in 2015 with a constant barrage of N-words?
I think it's such a deep question so early. I think like it at this point, they control that word, rappers, and obviously when idiot people have been saying it recently in the news, whether it's the frat guys or things like that that are going on, it just that's why Kendrick is so needed. I think that the idea that we haven't been able to sort of control idiots from saying it or people trying to redefine it or whatever it is, this has always been, in hip-hop especially, a word that is defined through the music and explains their plight and such like that. And I think that Kendrick is a perfect example of that. He has, in the record, you hear more than ever a rapper with Christian beliefs and this sort of Tupac narrative that he's been telling. And any time that he uses it, it isn't in just this ridiculous manner. It actually is mm-hmm. to put something forward and to tell you something. And the other thing about the record that I am shocked by is that he did put out sort of a very bouncy single originally called I, which got a ton of radio play. When it came time to put out on the record, he made it a live version, which no one's ever done in hip-hop ever. He made it harder to connect with. He took out lyrics at certain points. He dropped out during parts that you know you could rap along with so that he could yell at the audience during I, and it's a fake live performance, really. It's something that was staged and set up.
I'm glad you brought up I, because that's the song, if there's anything that's accessible on the record, because it's not chock full of singles, that's for sure, but it is I in its original form, and our listeners may actually have heard a little bit of this before. Here's a clip.
Everybody lack confidence. Everybody lack confidence. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this. I love myself. The world is a ghetto because it can't be.
You think it was intentional to stay away from singles? Like like the last record had, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe and Swimming Pools and other songs that were kind of easy entry points for Kendrick Lamar. I mean, do you think he looks at this and goes, I'm going to make this an album experience? It's not about getting on the radio?
Absolutely. Good Kid, Mad City did have total radio hits on it, as do most of the TDE guys, the label that he's on. This record goes out of the way. I mean, I has a sample of obviously the Isley Brothers, That Lady, or that shampoo commercial that everyone remembers. that's a very bouncy song. He went out of his way for that to be less accessible on the album by doing it live and missing lyrics. And he has a speech in the album version. So, yeah, I mean, clearly he wanted you to listen from the beginning to the end. And that kind of smart record is something that's why everyone's connecting. We can't, as a hip-hop fan, we can't turn our back on it just because it's hard to digest, because we've been asking for this for so long.
So I need to sit with it, and the pew-pew-pew will become a lot more clear, is what you're saying.
I think so. I mean, I will admit this record is not going to be one that you're going to be driving around to for years. It is an experience of sorts. I just think it's something that should be celebrated because I'm just tired of hearing about guns and butts. And you know what I mean? Like we evolving as an art form, this is a major step in the right direction.
All right. Let me ask you two more quick things, Jensen. You're awesome to come on, as always. We always appreciate your time. And number one is, I wondered, and it sounds like this is not the case. It sounds like these rave reviews of this album are completely 100% earned and you agree with them. But I wondered if Kendrick this time around had the media so much on his side because of how publicly he lost the Grammy last year to Macklemore. And I wondered if people were just super rooting for him when this record came out. And that helped a lot with the things that people are saying about him.
I wonder. I mean, this is not a Grammy record. I would dream in my perfect world he wins for this, but I just don't see, 60 to 70-year-old white people voting for this record as best album.
Or getting through it one time.
Or getting through it one time. It's also situationally, I think people are rooting for him. You have Macklemore and then Iggy Azalea both back-to-back sort of being the hip-hop acts of the year. Even if Iggy didn't win the Grammy, she still sold the most. She still had the most publicity. And people started asking about ownership of hip-hop and reappropriation and things like that. And this record addresses that, and this record is mean and in your face, and you understand his opinion. So I think situationally it might be in his favor also, even if it's not like a Kendrick bias.
And last question I have for you, and this is really more of a marketing standpoint, is first of all, the album was dropped as a surprise a week before it was originally scheduled to come out. It obviously instantly rocketed to number one on iTunes and all the tracks on Spotify and everything like that. But there's been no promotion per se of this thing. You don't see him on all the TV shows. You don't see him doing a bunch of interviews or anything like that. I mean, it's so like the opposite of a Kanye West or somebody like that who's in your face every minute when a record is counting down.
Well, surprise album is the new promoted album. When Beyonce did it and made so much money, and now J. Cole, and there's rumor that Rihanna's releasing an album either today or this weekend. I mean, it's become part of it.
Right.
So I don't know if that has to do with sort of Kendrick's MO or anything like that. I just think that's become the new way you sell an album, and it works. These people who've been releasing albums out of nowhere, it seems. They're creating more of a buzz. Get in on it, this exclusive club of knowing it exists. It seems like that's a bigger deal. Kendrick also not doing interviews and such, I think that obviously kind of ties into the album. But he did, I don't know if you saw, he got on a flatbed truck on Sunset Boulevard and just put a speaker out and rapped down the street as people jogged.
Just on a like flatbed trailer and put it on Twitter. Hey guys, meet me here at 6:30.
Man of the people, guys.
Awesome.
This is what's happening, and I think it's an actual voice for the streets, and we should celebrate it because, you know, like I said, we have to have some substance in hip-hop. It's what we make fun of it for all the time.
The album is available everywhere now. It is called To Pimp a Butterfly if you want to check it out. Jensen is the Kevin DeBean hip-hop correspondent. You can follow him on Twitter at JensenClan. And by the way, that's with a C, JensenClan88. And, of course, he owns the Gallery 1988s here in L.A. And don't miss his Get Up Off. What is it called? Is it Get Up Off on This or On This, your podcast?
Get Up Off of This would be very sexual. Get Up On This is our show, and we tell you about things that are coming up in the mainstream, either from the underground or things that haven't bubbled yet, and we're sort of your cool kids who clue you in.
Thanks so much for coming on, dude. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
Ralph Garman, go.
What? Oh, because I have a minute to do showbiz news?
Yeah, I didn't want to eat up any more of your time than I already have. All right. It's time for the showbiz beat.
Here's Ralph. All that talk about Lamar and not a mention of him playing for the Lakers or the Clippers. I mean, covered his career a little bit more thoroughly.
No, this
I think
Kendrick Lamar. This is the rapper. This is
so disappointed in you.
This is a different guy.
I liked you better when you were in KMOQ. The big showbiz news, of course, of the day is the fact that One Direction is officially down one man. Can I get a little camera sound effect here? Thanks so much. We got to get a new Smurf. Zayn Malik has left the band. I don't know if you've seen the footage. But the band is trying to carry on as a four-piece, and they were in concert, and Harry was on stage, man, just broke down in tears.
Aww.
Just broke down crying like a boss, just weeping like a little schoolgirl over the loss of his bandmate, Zayn Malik.
I'm surprised Allie's not starting a rumor that they were lovers, like she started a rumor
that
Zayn was on heroin.
Maybe the reason Harry was upset is because his heroin connection left the band.
I didn't say that was happening. I said it's one of the rumors
you
out there.
You guaranteed he was on the horse.
I did not.
You said money back guarantee, he's chasing the dragon.
I already got a lot of flack because I said the pictures were taken in the Philippines. Sorry, the pictures were taken in Thailand. My bad.
You got flack for where they took One Direction pictures?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
It's okay. Look, she's operating without Diet Dr. Pepper today, people.
It's not good. Yeah, you thought it was bad before.
She gets a pass.
Give Mac a break.
But we can, we'll be okay without Zayn in One Direction, right? The world
keeps
spinning, right?
No. I don't know.
No.
Okay.
The band said, we're all really sad to see Zayn go, but we totally respect his decision and send him all our love for the future. The past 5 years have been beyond amazing. We've gone through so much together, so we will always be friends. Hope Zayn gets all the heroin he wants.
They added that to
Love 1D. Speaking of music, a list of Library of Congress's National Recording Registry has been released. They're adding another 25 recordings to its archives. Apparently, they do this each and every year. They pick the best of music and they put it in the Library of Congress so that it will be preserved in perpetuity for future generations to love and enjoy. Interesting batch. Here's some of the list. Benny King's Stand By Me. That's got to be in there, right? That's a classic.
Sure.
Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Love and Feeling.
Yeah.
I could go without ever hearing that again. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill by Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
That's in there. The Doors, their self-titled debut album, The Doors, as in been included. And Radiohead's OK Computer.
Nice.
It's a good batch for the most part. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Arkin is 81 years old today. What a funny, talented man. One of my favorite actors. Did you ever see a movie called The In-Laws with him and Peter Falk?
I don't think I did.
If you're a comedy fan, if you've never seen that film, do yourselves a favor and hunt it down. They did a remake of it recently with Albert Brooks, I think, and Michael Douglas. Does that sound familiar?
That's right. Yep.
But the original with Alan Arkin and Peter Falk is just so funny. 81 years old today. James Caan is 75. Steven Tyler is 67 years old today. Martin Short, one of my favorite actor comedians from SCTV and SNL, and the father of the Bride movies, 65 years old. Michael Imperioli from Sopranos is 49. Kenny Chesney, country singer, is 47. Leslie Mann, actress, is 43. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy, 42. Amy Smart is 39. And actress Keira Knightley celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Call him William. Don't call him Billy. It's one thing we learned this week. Smashing Pumpkins on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thursday mornings a little after 8 means we can catch up with our friend Jim Rome from AM 980, The Beast. He'll be on the air live there at 9 o'clock. We've got him on the phone today because some of our fancy radio equipment isn't working. How you doing, Romy?
Man, I'm so good. Why don't you guys send me a fax or something while you're at it?
Just sent a pigeon. It's on its way.
Hey, we contacted you by beeper this morning to do this interview. You didn't get that? Come on.
Yeah, you beeped that out, like Telegraph, Pony Express, exactly. Nail Mail. Man, technology is beautiful.
Hey, listen, I know there's a lot of stuff going on that we want to get to in a very short amount of time, but I have to start with the NFL because this is the time where the new rules are going into effect. And I was surprised and I guess pleased to see that the proposal to guarantee each team a possession in overtime failed. A lot of people have complained about that rule over the years, but that's not going to change. But then this morning, there's a new rule that involves Allie's beloved New England Patriots. What's going on with the cheaters, Jim?
Yeah, this is awesome. Remember, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's only cheating if you get caught, except this time they didn't get caught. The NFL passed a rule that makes it illegal for an offensive player wearing an eligible number to report as ineligible and line up outside the tackle box. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, this was a play that, I mean, this is a new rule specifically for the Patriots because that was in Belichick's toolbox, right?
It is the Patriots rule or the Shane Vereen rule, whatever you want to call it, but you had to know it was coming. The Pats found a loophole. It closed. Trust me, they will find another one if they haven't already. It's like the game within the game, and nobody plays it better than Bill Belichick. The thing that's noteworthy to me here is we're all so addicted to the NFL that something like this has our attention, and it's big news. It's a stupid rule change. We're all freaking out over it, and it shows that football is king because the NFL out of season is still more riveting to people than any other sport in season.
Allie, what are your thoughts when you see the Patriots have this this arrow taken out of the quiver?
It's fine. We'll come up with another way to get by, and then all of a sudden the NFL will be like, oh, we should have thought of that. Not our fault that Bill is smarter than everyone.
Well, we're better at cheating than everybody.
Is it cheating,
allegedly,
though? Is it cheating?
No, this time it was not.
This time it was not.
He literally is smarter than everybody. And again, if he hasn't found a loophole, he will find another one. This is what this guy does.
And remember all to right. Flakegate? Yeah, me neither, because it didn't happen.
And stop cheating.
Whatever.
Here's some more NFL off-season news that's a little more serious, and that is the case of Darren Sharper. Now, he is retired now. He was a player for the Saints. I believe he won a Super Bowl with the Saints, didn't he, Jim?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he is in the news now because he's going to jail for rape for 9 years. Why is this controversial all of a sudden, and why does this involve sports?
Well, what's interesting about this, number one, I'm not a legal analyst, but his lawyers did an amazing job. If they can cut a deal for a guy who reportedly raped several women in several different states, and this guy only gets 9 years. I have no idea how that works. That's in and of itself is mind-boggling. What's interesting is he's still eligible for the Hall of Fame. I mean, after all, the Juice is still in prison, and he's still in the Hall of Fame, but he did get in before he went on his killing spree. Sharper had a Hall of Fame caliber career. The guy literally could still get into the Hall of Fame, but technically, because of what he did, he never, ever sniffs it. The rule is, what you did on the field is the only thing that matters, but when they made that rule, I don't think they had in mind a guy as sick and as twisted as Darren Sharper.
So why are they changing rules about lining up in eligible players, that type of thing? Why don't they do this as a rule? You rape people, you kill people, you can't get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would think that you wouldn't need a rule like that. I would think that people would know that already.
Don't
get me wrong, there's a lot of really bad, bad dudes in the Hall of Fame, but nobody like that. But to your point, yeah, you might as well change that rule, too. I think the morals clause should be a part of this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some bad dudes that are there, but safe to assume you should not be able to murder or rape people and still get in.
Hey, so you don't think there's anything legitimate about somebody whose position is the Hall of Fame is only about what happens in the play of field?
I think there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, then what you're saying is, I understand the argument, and that is the way it's set up right now, but, I mean, does integrity not matter? Does morality not matter? Does ethics not matter? Is it too much to ask that you not commit violent crimes? No, I think you got to draw the line somewhere. I think there should be something off the field as well, and a morals clause, too. They have it for baseball. They should have it in football, too.
In our final minute with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have obviously have to mention NCAA men's basketball tournament continues starting this weekend with the Sweet 16. I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, Jim, because I was on vacation, so you just had Kevin here. But what's your thought on Kentucky running the table?
I think they're going to get it done, but there's something great going on right now. You guys probably saw West Virginia's Daxter Miller Jr. call his shot. Now, remember, Kentucky has not lost. West Virginia plays them tonight. He says that Kentucky should be, quote, intimidated by the Mountaineers, and he, quote, salutes them for getting to 36-0, but tomorrow they're going to be 36-1, end of quote. So I'm only shocked that he didn't give a final score. The kid probably shows up to the game with the net already draped around his neck. Great attitude, terrible take. Make sure you don't lose by 20. I think they're going to run the table.
All right. Jim Rome's going to be on AM 980 The Beast starting at 9 o'clock this morning until noon. Of course, that's one of his great 240 radio stations nationwide. Look for the Jim Rome Show on the CBS Sports Network at 3 this afternoon and Jim Rome on Showtime, new episodes every month. We'll get the equipment all figured out and talk to you the way it's supposed to be next week. Jim, thanks for the time, sir.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Quick reminder, on the Kevin and Bean Show Tuesday morning, the band Mumford and Sons will be joining us. Also, the stars of iZombie that same day. So Tuesday is going to be a lot of fun. I love the Mumford, and I really am. I got to tell you, Ralph, that new song starting to grow on me.
I like it.
That Believe song starting to grow on me.
Initially, I thought it was a little too familiar. It sounded like some other bands, but I'm really starting to enjoy it, too. Yes, well, I agree.
Even though it's banjo-free, I know. I'm down with the Mumfords. But they'll be here on Tuesday morning. Very excited to catch up with those guys. Well, we're just doing the best we can, just getting by, just struggling to work today, obviously, with the tragic news of Zayn leaving One Direction. That's been real tough. I mentioned earlier that one of the trending topics this morning was let's buy One Direction.
Yep.
And I wonder what that was about. And I looked into it because we were going to talk about crowdsourcing today anyway. I want to get calls from our listeners about things that they have crowdfunded, I guess is the better way to use it. So yes. if you've ever been online and had people contribute money for something interesting, we want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. Here's what Let's Buy One Direction hashtag's all about. Fans decided that the reason that Zayn left One Direction is because their management company, Modest Management, had been working the band too hard.
Yeah, sure.
And that's why Zayn left. So the fans said, let's get together and raise the money to buy One Direction. We'll own them, and that way we can take it easy on them.
Genius.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's buy them and put them in mothballs and just put them in a storage container somewhere in Pacoima and just let them just stay there and grow old gracefully.
Now, I know what you're wondering, Ralph, is how are they doing? How are the fans doing?
Hey, Bean, how are the fans doing buying One Direction, I wonder?
Thank you for asking. The goal is $877.7 million. Okay. That's how much they need to buy One Direction.
Good deal.
So far, let's go to the tote board.
All right.
So far, they have raised $110.
Oh, so close. So they have another month, right? 30
they
days?
Got another month, right, exactly.
Okay.
Just a little short of $900 million that they're trying to raise on GoFundMe. You talked about a story, Ralph, that I thought was interesting, too, that involves your hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that involves some crowdfunding as well. What was that all about?
That was actually me.
Oh, was it easy to come from you, Allie? I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm scared.
What's this deal? What's this crowdfunding that this guy's trying to do?
There was this guy. He lived in Seattle, and he just kept getting emails about a bachelor party. He couldn't figure out who these people are. He would never respond when they would email. And then it became time where they were like, all right, we need a head count. Who's coming? What's going on? And finally, he's like, hey, I don't know any of you. And they're like, wait, what? What's happening? So the guy, Joey, in Seattle, said, I'm not sure who you are, but good luck with your bachelor party. And Jeff, the groom, said, why don't you come? Why don't we pitch in? You come on out. And he's like, okay, great idea. But instead, he went to GoFundMe and said, hey, bachelor party for guy I've never met.
And they're raising the money to fly him out?
To fly him out. But then the groom said, hey, why don't you be my best man? Why don't you do the toast?
What's going
come
on?
Come to the wedding. It gets better. He has
why don't
now
you impregnate my wife?
No.
Oh, okay.
It,
why
not
don't you marry
far.
Her instead of me?
That it might get there. But he raised the money, but then thought, oh, let's raise even more and send this stranger on his honeymoon. He has raised $8,199 of $10,000, which is his goal.
Wow.
What the heck?
So wait. So he raised money for his airfare mm-hmm. and accommodations to go to Philadelphia to a wedding of a man he's never met. And then he continued on to raise money to pay for that happy couple's honeymoon.
Yeah, this was just to go to the bachelor party.
Right.
He got that money. And then he said, okay, all right, gotcha. Anything over, let's send them on a honeymoon.
Huh, how about
what?
That?
That's pretty fun.
It's awesome.
Who are these people that would donate money to that? Like, why do I care whether this guy goes to Philadelphia for a bachelor party?
And people will use this to raise money for anything. I mean, famously, of course, it's for movies and that kind of stuff. But if you go to Indiegogo or GoFundMe or any of these sites, Kickstarter, I guess, was the first big one we heard about, you'll mm-hmm. see people raising money for all kinds of insane things. Bean gave money to a guy so he could keep taking pictures of corn.
Yes,
I'm not effing kidding you. This happened.
How much?
Bean gave money to a corn photographer to keep him being able to shoot pictures of corn.
Yeah, how much?
I don't remember. I don't remember how
much. Yes, you do.
It was too much for a guy who snaps pictures of different kinds of corn.
I got I did get a print from him that's still hanging on my
and
wall to
this
day. And
what is that picture of?
Well, it's of corn,
it's
Ralph.
Of corn.
You know that.
Exactly.
Of corn.
That was my point. You helped fund a corn photographer.
But that at least you can understand, because those artistic endeavors where you support an artist and then you get their album or you get their artwork
or you whatever, get a picture of corn
or whatever, those you can understand. What I'm fascinated with are the people who get other people to contribute to their wedding or to. I saw a story the other day about somebody who's trying to take an around the world vacation, and he's asking for friends and family and strangers to donate money to help fund his trip around the world. I don't get why anyone would give money to that guy.
I think you don't get if you don't ask. I mean, I think that comes down to it. People say, I need help, and you'll be surprised. Somebody, and it's if you, and that's the whole premise behind the crowd part of crowdfunding is that if I need $100,000, no one's going to give me that. But if 100,000 people give me $1, mm-hmm. it's nothing to them, and it's everything
right.
to me.
Yep.
That's the mentality.
And clearly it works. Every single day, people crowdfund things that are important to them. So we want to hear what you have crowdfunded. If you have ever put something up online where you have asked other people to contribute money to it, we want to know what it was. This could be very interesting. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is right after this on K-Rock. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I hear he is crowdfunding the money to get together to go to medical school, by the way. Do you hear
he
about
should.
That, Ralph?
He should finally be a doctor after calling himself that for all those years.
He's a real doctor,
I think, too.
He's
not a real doctor.
He's a real doctor.
I've never seen the paperwork.
Not
taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. This story that's in the news about a man in Seattle who went to a wedding is going to a bachelor party and then a wedding in Philadelphia for people he doesn't even know because he was accidentally invited. He crowdfunded his way there. And we got to thinking about all the various things that people are able to get money for on the internet by going to GoFundMe or Kickstarter.
Remember,
let's find out some
remember
of this.
Remember potato salad guy?
Yes.
Guy was making potato salad on Kickstarter.
That's right.
And he said, if you give me money so I can make my potato salad,
yep.
I'll send you some.
$55,492 was raised.
Yes. And then the smartass had to send all those people some potato salad. It ruined his life. I'm glad.
Worst thing he ever did.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk to Brian in Studio City just to go into the Wayback Machine. He crowdfunded, guys, back in 2002.
Wow.
That was way before that was a thing, right?
He was a pioneer.
Brian, what's your story, dude?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
Morning.
This was back before any of these platforms actually existed. And back then, they didn't call it crowdfunding. They called it cyber begging.
And, which is what it is, really. Let's face it.
Yeah, that's really what it is. I wanted to go to paramedic school. And I was an EMT already, trying to raise money to go to paramedic school. And I had some web development skills, so I read about this girl, Karen, who set up one of these sites to help pay off her credit cards. And I'm like, I could totally do that to raise money for paramedic school. It's a better cause than trying to pay off my credit card. So I set up the site, just put a PayPal button on there because there wasn't really a platform to do this.
Right.
And raised about $8,000.
Wow.
And at the time, it was so new, such a new concept, that I had the Associated Press call me.
Huh.
I had Fox News do an interview with me in their studio. AP sent a photographer to my house, so I got written about, and that drove a lot of traffic.
So we have you to blame for all these beggars.
Yeah, exactly.
You bastard.
And now every time somebody wants to, you know, go out Friday night to get drunk, they're looking for money online from people.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, dude.
Acceptable.
Yes, go ahead.
Now it's acceptable. But back then I got a lot of hate mail and even death threats and people like threatening, just go out and get your own damn job and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But well,
that's the plus and minus of the internet is what you just described.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate you very much listening. Let's go to Steve. He's in Covina, line 7. He's up next. Now, this makes a lot of sense to me. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, Steve.
My son went to school here in California and rode for Orange Coast College, and he transferred to Michigan to Grand Valley State University. He was selected to go on to U.S. Olympic collegiate team. And he started a GoFundMe account. They're going to go to Korea in June. He's trying to raise $6,000.
Now, when you say rowed, you mean like crew rowing or?
Yeah, crew rowing. He's on an 8-man boat. They won 2 national titles at Orange Coast College, and then he transferred to Michigan.
See, now this makes a lot of sense to me because clearly there's a lot of money involved in having to go to the Olympics. These are all amateur athletes who probably don't have time or, you know, resources to take care of it themselves. And you apply, you know, you basically you appeal to the nationalism of the fans in the area.
USA.
Yeah, exactly.
Row that skull.
Is that working out, Steve?
It's real slow for him now. You know, he's on the GoFundMe, and I haven't been paying too much attention to it. He's asking for extra money all the time, so I just
tuned him out.
Exactly. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Molly in Ontario on line 8.
Yeah, I dare you to go to Molly.
Ralph. How dare you. Molly, I feel like Ralph is already against you, but let's let you tell your story first.
Thanks, Ralph. We got this dog from my mother-in-law. She couldn't take care of her anymore. About a month after we got her, we realized she had a bladder stone. It was the size of an egg.
Oh.
And so we funded her surgery.
And you went on Kickstarter, one of those sites?
We went on GoFundMe, yeah.
How much was it, if you don't mind me asking, Molly?
What's that?
How much was the surgery?
Oh, it was a little over $1,800.
Wow.
And you got it covered?
Lot.
And we got it covered.
I bet it's easier to get money for animals and stuff than it is to get for charity sometimes.
I wouldn't be surprised. Now, did you find that the word was spread on the internet and there were people that you didn't even know who were donating money to a dog they would never meet surgery?
There were people that I barely knew, like a father of a friend of a friend. And, like my husband's boss. You know,
that's great.
People we barely know. That's right.
How's the dog now?
Yeah, how's the dog?
She's much better.
Oh, good.
Good. You're not going to poo-poo this, Ralph? You're down with this?
No. I mean, the dog needed help. It's not so bad to help a dog. If people are willing to volunteer the money, that's fine.
Thank you for the call, Molly. Glad to hear the dog's okay.
No, I mean, it's not taking money out of a person's mouth or anything, you know, so.
All right. Let's try... Okay. Let's talk to Lady.
Or Puppy Lake. You just throw the dog at Puppy Lake.
There he is.
There are plenty of other dogs.
That's right.
Let's try Lady Yoga in Santa Monica. This may be the last one we have time for. Lady Yoga, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I never thought I'd say those words.
I am so honored beyond belief to be on your show. You have no idea.
Well, as are we. What can we do for you, Lady Yoga?
Well, you know, I'm hearing all these stories, and some of them are just absolutely fascinating because I've tried crowdfunding on so many different platforms. And my comic strip, my Lady Yoga superhero comic strip, has been in LA Yoga Magazine for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to take her to the next level with the very first comic strip for yoga and fitness. And I couldn't get a dollar.
What?
Not even my friends and family. Mm. I mean, a little bit. But I was amazed because nothing exists out there to bring yoga and fitness into your absolute every single day.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that there are no comic strips out there specifically about Lady Yoga people?
There is just Lady Yoga, who travels around on her yoga mat cape and flies through the air to bring yoga and fitness everywhere. I know.
I'm in.
How is the hunger for a female yoga superhero not been demanded so far?
I don't know. And I've gone to Comic-Con every year. She's super hot. She's fabulous. And I don't know. I'm getting the rejection constantly from publishers. So
Lady Yoga.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's an outrage. This is outrage.
I don't want to live in this country anymore without Lady
Yoga.
And
it must be so depressing to see Marvel spend all that money on stupid Iron Man when Lady Yoga is just out there doing nothing.
I mean, exactly. She's out there doing something, but just ain't no dollar bills coming in, y'all.
Well, stay limber.
Thanks for calling. You're listening to the Kevin Ryder and Gene Bean Show on KMOQ.
I love K-Mock.
According to the ad in the Hollywood Reporter yesterday morning, we are now on KMOQ. So I want to thank the National Association of Broadcasters for recognizing us in that way.
Hall of Fame!
I think the Hall of Fame ceremony is going to be awkward when nobody there when I show up to pick up my award has ever heard of me or us or the station.
Something I hope happened. It's on the trophy, though. What if it is?
They don't know who you K-Mock. Are. There's some sort of gun being held to their head, or somebody has blackmail photos of the guy in charge or something. Something's up here. Because I really don't seem to know who you are or what you do.
I'm not kidding you when I tell you that we thought when the NAB called and said, hey, Hall of Fame for the Kevin and Bean Show, we all thought it's probably a Kimmel prank. And I think maybe this is how he's unveiling it to us, that it's a prank, as he's starting to let it fall apart now as we get closer to the ceremony.
Yeah, he's going to say, didn't you realize when they put the wrong name and call letters for the station in the Hollywood Reporter that it was all
that it
a
wasn't
gag?
Real?
Didn't you know?
Exactly. So anyway, so thanks for listening to KMOQ. Dr. Drew joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
We were just talking about crowdfunding, and the latest success story belongs to the folks who put together the film Super Trooper 14 years ago. Broken Lizard comedy troupe went on Indiegogo to try to raise money for a sequel to Super Troopers, and they wanted to raise $1.5 million, I think. In less than 2 days, they raised $2.4 million already. They still have...
Oops, that's the wrong one. Sorry.
You want a bike?
There you go.
What Sorry, was that?
He's riding around his house on a bike. With 30 days left in the campaign, still to go. So that means they're going to have a very successful funding campaign. The original movie was made for $1.2 million. It grossed $23 million worldwide. So it looks like it's going to be a good return on their investment.
Nice.
Lollapalooza, happening, of course, as it does every year at Chicago's Grant Park on July the 31st, August 1st, and 2nd. This will be the 10th edition of the festival. And they've just released the lineup. Boy, it's a good lineup this year. Alabama Shakes, The Weeknd, Sam Smith, Kid Cudi, Marina and the Diamonds of Monsters and Men, ASAP Rocky, Florence and the Machine will headline along with Metallica and Paul McCartney this year.
How about that?
That's a pretty good lineup.
Paul McCartney's never played Lollapalooza before. Of all the festivals he's done, this is the first time for him.
He sure doesn't seem to be slowing down at all, does he?
No.
At his, what's his advanced age? What's he, 68, 69? Gotta be.
Oh,
right.
No, he's over 70.
Oh, he's over 70?
Yeah.
Crazy. Lily Collins and Chris Evans are a thing, apparently.
That's a good-looking couple.
Yeah, really? If we're going to repopulate the planet, let's start with them, right? Word is that they met at a post-Oscar party, and since then, but for about a month, they've been hanging out together and very much into each other. And Star Trek III is in the works. Daily Variety is reporting that Idris Elba is in talks to play the villain upcoming Star Trek III movie. That sounds like great casting.
Yep.
No official plot has been put out for the film yet, but we know our buddy Simon Pegg is co-writing the film. Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Carl Urban, Zoe Saldana, and Anton Yelchin will all be back for the third installment of J.J. Abrams' reboot of the franchise, and I'm looking forward to it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Arkin's 81 years old today. James Caan turns 75. Steven Tyler turns 67 years old. Martin Short is 65. Michael Imperioli turns 49. Kenny Chesney's 47 years old. Leslie Mann's 43. T.R. Knight is 42. Amy Smart is 39. Bianca Kylik, you know her as the actress from Undateable.
What? Her birthday's today?
She's also married to that dude from that radio show.
Did we just find out her birthday was today?
They just found out. She's 38 years old. Amy Smart's 39. Did I mention her?
Yes.
Keira Knightley turns 30 years old. And the most important birthday of all, and I know she's listening because her mother told me so, Olivia Garment celebrates her 5th birthday today. So,
yay!
I want to send a big shout out to Olivia Garment. She is much loved. I love you, honey. I'll see you later. Now turn off the radio because we're going to say bad words.
Penis.
Oh, come on!
Too quick.
You said.
Sorry, Olivia.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock, we catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, the co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Of course, he works with Mike Catherwood on KABC weekday afternoons, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday night at 6. As a matter of fact, Dr. Drew, I understand you are in Atlanta today. Are you at CNN today?
I will be at CNN all day today, and I've been all week, and nothing but airplane talk. 24/7.
By the way, that is chilling news. Now, this let's talk about that for a second. This isn't what we had planned, but this is as a result of the investigation into the black box on that plane that went down in the French Alps. Is that where this new theory is coming from?
Not the black box, but the voice recorder. You hear the captain leave the flight deck and then try to get back in, kind of gently knocking on the door, and then sort of pounding panically and then going nuts outside the door. So clearly the co-pilot, who was like a 28-year-old dude with only 600 hours of flying time, had some sort of other intentions. I mean, originally people thought, oh, my God, did he slump over? But the A320 is not one of these planes that has a steering wheel. It sort of has a joystick in the middle. Mm-hmm. And the 28-year-old doesn't suddenly slump over and knock off a joystick. And by the way, that wouldn't create a nice steady decline into the Alps. It would have had the plane going off to one side or the other. This guy intentionally took this plane down. So the question is, was he in some altered state? Was it depression? Was it terrorism? They're not leaving any stone unturned. Nobody knows what is going on here. However, this guy did train in Arizona just recently, so they've got a bunch of information about him. They're going to look into it.
Isn't that something? I mean, we all assume there was some sort of mechanical failure. There wasn't any reason to suspect that it was terrorism until this morning, right?
Right. Well, not terror. That's a low down the list, I must say. I mean,
okay. So we still don't know if it's. We don't know if he. We still don't know if he. Well, we do know he intentionally brought the plane down. I mean, he drove the thing in a vertical direction, right?
Right. It doesn't look like he slumped over the stick. It looks like he took it down steadily. And if you remember, there was a Middle Eastern aircraft that went down with a suicide gesture, and that guy just took it straight down. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, what is going on here? What? This guy really intended to take everybody out. Why the slow decline? Or it's so bizarre. It's just so bizarre. It almost makes you wonder if he was in an altered state for some reason. I guess we may never know what his motivation is. But just that it was a sort of a normal rate of decline, you know, the way you'd come in for a landing.
Right.
So it's very, very bizarre. But then why didn't he respond to the pilot going crazy outside the door? And now we've got all this conversation about what to do with the locked cockpit door. Should we have overrides that are better? No, here we go again.
Now, being Dr. Drew, has it occurred to you that maybe this co-pilot was touched as a child? Because usually that's where you go.
That is the go-to.
That's the go-to. That's right. And, I spent the afternoon yesterday reading and listening to lectures about trauma in childhood. And adverse childhood experiences is, let's just face it, it's the source of everything. So, yeah, I'm going to guess this guy had some sort of adverse childhood experience. Maybe not touched in the wrong place. But something not good that led, unless it was some sort of political maneuver. But there's no evidence of that. And by the way, anybody that's going to fly on the low price air flyers, you know, the airliners in Europe, they don't require a lot of flight time by their flight deck, flight
right.
staff. It's way different than over here.
Exactly. You know, you fly a lot. You fly as much as anyone I know, Doctor. Has your level of angst changed in recent years getting on an airplane based on all these stories that happen?
It's so funny we would talk about this. The reality is no, and it's a weird thing because I'm a classic fear of flying case in that I flew as a young guy, like to college and whatnot, didn't give a consideration. Toward the end of college and end of medical school, I developed just paralyzing fear of flying. I couldn't get on a plane. It was just the most awful experience. And then somebody put me on a private jet. I did it without having any anxiety. And I thought, oh, I can do this. And it just went away, and it's never come back.
How about that?
So, yeah, fear of flying usually comes on. It comes on, it peaks, and then it goes away if you stay with it long enough. And now I have, like, now I'm ridiculous. Now I have insolence to fly. Now
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
On its way to the ground. I'd be like, they'll figure this out.
All right. Let's, in our remaining moments with the great Dr. Drew Pinsky here on the Kevin Beach Show, let's talk about something that is serious. It has been in the news a lot this week. Once again, Angelina Jolie's choice has made international news. 2 years ago, she received a preventative double mastectomy. Now she has had her ovarians removed. Why don't we start with thing one, which is what is this BRCA1 gene that she's so afraid of, Doc?
Right. The BRCA1, the BRCA2 are genes that have been correlated in certain populations with risk for cancer, particularly if they're first-degree relatives or even second-degree relatives with breast, ovary, or colon cancer. So, you know, it's not irrational at all. I sort of applaud her. I certainly applaud her for talking about it, because this may be a rational choice for some people. It's not for everybody. Some people think it's too aggressive. I think it's quite rational. And if you're going to take the breast, you're probably going to take the ovaries. I mean, that's just the same maneuver, just a different organ system to do these preventative measures. And then the question becomes, what do you do with the colon? Well, they're going to do, I bet she gets colonoscopies every couple of years. I bet she screams the hell out of that. And hats off. She, listen, not everyone can afford this. Not everyone has time for this. Not everyone will get a healthcare provider to be able to sign on to this, and not everyone's going to want to do this. But I say hats off to her for doing preventative interventions. I mean, that she does not have to worry about this now.
Now, in her case, though, this would be a very different discussion if she were 22 and still looking forward to having children. But she's 39, and she's pretty much set with her family. So, I mean, isn't that the number one thing that your ovaries are used for, is possible future pregnancies?
Yes, that's the number one thing of reproduction. Thank you for noticing. You have to work with this guy.
So, sometimes they're used for eyesight, but mostly for making babies and stuff.
Let me phrase it another way. What I mean, Dr. Drew, is having your ovaries out doesn't only affect your ability to get pregnant, right? So other changes are now happening in her body as a result of that.
Which are inevitable as she hits this late middle age window anyway. They're going to shut down on their own. So taking them out and having them shut down on their own is not a different phenomenon. However, I hope that she opens the conversation about hormone replacement therapy, because that gets even more complicated. What hormones, how much hormones, what delivery system? And I will just say, for any middle-aged women that are listening out there, do not forget testosterone. The sense of well-being, mood, vitality, and libido is not completely, but mostly controlled by testosterone. And doctors tend to leave that one out. And you've got to think of ways to replace that, or you will not be as happy as you might be, and your partner may not be as well.
It's interesting. I heard you mention that some women couldn't afford this. Is this an expensive surgery to have your ovaries removed?
Well, it's not. Any surgery is expensive, let's face it. And I don't know how different insurance carriers will look at these sorts of preventative measures. Listen, the insurance companies are draconian. They're like, what's the data? What's the probability? Are there less expensive alternatives? And if there are, that's what you're going to get. You know,
gotcha.
So it's not left up to your own choice. I mean, there are certain insurances that allow you to appeal. Some will base it on the doctor's recommendations, but most of them base it on draconian principles of what the objective data shows, and that's that.
Do you by chance know the spike in numbers of women that got tested for the BRCA1 and 2 gene just after she came out and said, listen, I'm doing this preventative double mastectomy. I've got it in my family. I got tested. Let's do it.
I don't have those numbers, but you bring up an interesting question, is could this be overdone? And absolutely, there is concern that it could be overdone. I would urge you, if you can, again, if you have access, to consult with a geneticist if you can, or at least do your homework, because a positive result is not just a positive result. It has to be analyzed in context of your family history, your age, what childbearing situation is. Are you young? Are you old? And so it is something that once you have the data implies some sort of action, and you have to really think about it ahead of time, like, what am I going to do if? And you better talk with somebody that really knows their stuff.
Right. As always, more information is better for everybody. So it's good that Angelina Jolie is keeping this back in the headlines, because she, the kind of person she is. Good thoughts on that, Dr. Drew. You'll be on the CNN tonight at 6 o'clock, will you?
I will be on HLN tonight at 6. And again, listen, hats off to Angelina. She is doing this. I just approve of the way she's gone about this completely. And she's going to help other people. And this is really well done, you know. And she timed it right and waited until she was a good story.
But she should stop there. We don't need her to be losing any more body parts, right? She should quit.
Maybe an arm or a leg or something. But she's now got 40 kids, so she's done with that part.
Doc, have a great time out there in Atlanta. Thanks for the time today, sir.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Hey, we didn't give away tickets to Kevin Meets April Foolishness. We do have a pair for today. Would it screw you up, Ralph, if I just threw them out there right now for people who are still with us?
Not at all. Bring it.
At this late stage of the show, if you're listening,
bring the heat.
We want to reward you by offering up for caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. Tickets into the sold-out Kevin Meets April Foolishness 2015, which is fast approaching, coming up on Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium with a tremendous lineup, including our friend Jay Moore and Ralphie May
Renee and Brad Williams and Tenacious D and so much more. All proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Don't forget, Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll find out at least the next step as to who will be the opening act for that show. We're going to have the top 10 finalists to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness on krock.com. You can watch those and help us decide who gets the plum gig of a lifetime. That's Monday morning right here on KROQ. Time now for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
I don't know if it's a lifetime. It's a good gig, but not a lifetime.
I think it might be. It could be the greatest thing that's ever happened in somebody's show business
something
life.
Something better will happen to them later.
Well, I would hope so too, but that could be the peak of their comedy career for all we know.
Oh, lifetime, just saying.
At least they're going out on a high note.
Can I address the people who hate us today? About the One Direction conversation, that was a perfectly legitimate conversation to have. We didn't play their music, for God's sakes. They're one of the biggest bands in the world. That's a legitimate showbiz story to cover.
I'm sorry, Ralph, I've not been on the line the last couple of minutes. What are people saying about us?
People are upset with us having a conversation about One Direction.
Okay.
I don't know what we could have done differently. I guess not talk about them. But I think it's a big news, right? They're a huge,
it is
huge
a big
phenomenon.
News. Absolutely.
Phenomenon. Let's talk about a band we all can agree on, Green Day.
Yay!
Green Day's musical American Idiot is being revived here in Los Angeles. It's going to be staged in a warehouse downtown. How cool is that? Performances will begin on May the 15th at LA's Arts District. The cast will include stars of stage and screen, although they've yet to be announced. Tickets will go on sale in April, but we'll keep you posted as the revival of American Idiot gets closer. I saw the Broadway version. I'd like to see it again. I'd go downtown to see it.
If I remember correctly, we had a couple of the performers from that show.
We did.
Come in, perform live on the air, and they were terrific.
This one's going to be apparently a lot of high-profile guest stars will come in and out of this production. That's what they're saying, so I'm looking forward to it. Speaking of guest stars, Idris Elba is reportedly in conversations to play the main villain in upcoming Star Trek III. He's the best. I'll watch him in anything.
Yeah.
No word yet on what the official plot of the film is, but of course Simon Pegg is co-writing. Everybody's
spoiler
be
alert,
back.
he's playing Khan.
No! That's been done. With Bender Bitch Cumberdun. Whatever his name. Bieber in the news for something related to music for a change. He is going to be headlining the UK's Fusion Festival in Birmingham, which happens on August the 28th and runs through the 30th. Justin said, "I love the UK, and I'm excited to be playing at Fusion this year, eh?" He'll close out on Friday night. Would you have any interest in seeing Justin Bieber live?
I don't.
That can't be good.
I'm wondering, though, if he's headlining, who's supporting? Who else is playing?
Well, whoever it is, they're pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't click on the link because it was an article about Justin Bieber, but I think he may have gotten a puppy this week, Ralph.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that story.
Because he is certainly the guy who ought to be looking after another creature to keep it alive.
He has a spotty, checkered past, let's say, with pets.
Yes, he does.
From leaving monkeys in Germany to, I don't know, giving away hamsters to random strangers in crowds and stuff. But I did hear he got a puppy, yeah. And he's wearing it like an accessory every place he goes. It's one of those old teacup things or something, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think it's like a Jay Moore-sized dog.
Is he throwing eggs at it and swearing at it?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure he will. He'll misplace it or leave it in the overhead compartment of some plane somewhere, I'm sure, by the time it's all done.
Did Jay really call his dogs running around in here a lady party?
Yeah, it's a lady party.
Wow.
Lady party!
So weird.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays today, real quick email. Allie, I see you're wearing your Los Angeles Kings jersey.
I am.
Are they officially in the playoffs now? Is it official?
Well, they're behind Winnipeg right now, but it's fine.
For the final slot?
Yeah, we've got two more points from the Rangers, and when are they playing next? Well, need to look that up.
That's okay, but they're still in the running, but they haven't locked it in yet.
They're in.
Ducks, fine. Of course. Ducks are have the best record in professional.
They've been in the playoffs
hockey?
Since January.
Yeah, they're just they're monsters. My Flyers beat the Chicago Blackhawks last night, a little too late. But a lot of hockey talk as we get closer to the playoffs, including this email from Chris, who writes this in. Ralph, I know you love hockey, and I wish we get to hear more of it on the show. Well, we just did some. I don't know if you saw the Ducks game recently, but their power play could have been better. We haven't been the same since number 8 retired. He's second all-time in the NHL in power play goals, a living legend. I wish we had him back. I guess you could say, I really miss Teemu Selanne.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I really miss Teemu Selanne.
What?
I really miss Teemu Selanne. I really miss Teemu Selanne.
That was strong, Chris. Strong. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Bianca Kailik. You may know her as the star of Undateable. Around here, we know her as Mike's broad. Mm-hmm. That's how we know her. Catherine Wood's wife, 38 years old today. Alan Arkin's 81 years old. James Caan is 75. Steven Tyler, 67 years old. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos. Christopher.
Christopher, what are you doing? What are you doing, Christopher?
49 years old today. Kenny Chesney's 47. Leslie Mann is 43. T.R. Knight, 42 years old. Amy Smart is 39 years old. Keira Knightley turns 30. And the legendary Martin Short, one of my favorites of all time, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Hey, speaking of Bieber, when's that roast air on Comedy Central?
March the 30th.
So that would be Monday night.
I believe so.
Well, Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General himself, is going to be in studio with us tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So I'm sure that's one of the things that we'll be talking about is the Bieber roast.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the program tomorrow, the ladies from Broad City are going to be by. Love them. Love their show so much. Ryan Phillippe on the program today. He's a Philly boy, isn't he?
He sure is. We'll talk Eagles, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. He also, of course, is star of Secrets and Lives. Excellent TV show in its first season this year. That's all tomorrow, the movie beat, because it's Friday. And Allie has a feud that's gearing up with Queen P. She's going to take on Queen P tomorrow on the program.
It's not a feud. I just have a lot of questions.
I think maybe we should describe
explain who Queen P is.
Yes. Sounds like a performer at a burlesque club.
Well, it seemed to me that Allie was kind of coming at her, you know, on all cylinders and pretty much just trying to shoot her down before she even got a chance. But this is a woman who says that she has invented a device that will help women, you know, the busy concert season. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's tough to get into a restroom with those long, long lines.
Sure.
This will help women be able to pee standing up, which is kind of the holy grail for a lot of women. That's something they've been wanting for a long time.
This may revolutionize the world as we know it.
Yeah.
It's really all we've ever wanted, along with equal pay.
Oh, no
way, Lord.
And you're basically poo-pooing her invention.
I am not
you
at all.
You can poo-poo standing up, too?
No. I just have questions, and I can't wait to talk to Queen P.
Me, too. Right, I can't wait to meet Queen P.
Queen P on the program tomorrow. In fact, it's going to be an all-around excellent Kevin and Bean show for Friday. We'll see you then.